Good evening and welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and this evening I have Amanda and John Brantley with Lanyap Spice Company and Tennessee Spice Company. Hi, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Tiffany. Thanks for having us.
So you guys are a spice company here in Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
And how big is the umbrella of where you sell?
We have shipped to Hawaii.
So, okay. All across the country.
Canada. All over the country.
So, North America.
Yeah. Yes. And we have, I would say we have primarily three methods by which we sell our product.
Mm-hmm.
We do it online. You know, we've got an e-commerce site, and people can visit the site and ship anywhere, as John just mentioned. We also do our own local and regional retail shows that come about maybe once or twice a year. For instance, like a Christmas show, a local Christmas show, or a home show, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then the third avenue is that we wholesale our product to local retail and regional retail outlets.
How local and regional is that?
Right here in Cookeville, there's about three or four outlets that, you know, carry our retail establishments that carry our spices. So
what makes a 30-second synopsis of what is the spice company that you, because you're not selling salt and pepper.
Right. We kind of have a little bit our foot in everything. We have an Italian seasoning. We have a steak seasoning, seafood. We just come out with two rubs. We have a bourbon rub and a, what we're calling our Smoky Mountain apple rub. Those are brand new. We just come out with those this past 2 weeks ago.
And one of your biggest hits is a shrimp.
We have shrimp and grits.
Booyah shrimp. Yes.
And our Booyah New Orleans style barbecue shrimp.
Yes.
And I think what makes, our spices unique is that there are proprietary blends. No one else makes these. No one else sells these except through us. So all of them are blended. The spices are, you know, the blends are and flavor profiles are developed by John. And so we do that all in-house. And, you know, we get the spices and ingredients shipped into us, and then they are then blended in our facility and further processed into our proprietary blends. So it's not something that you're going to, you know, go and buy an identical product of, you know, somewhere else.
So let's back up a little bit. So do either of you have a background, and you're married, a husband and wife couple, and do either of you growing up, did you have an entrepreneurial spirit to you? You were selling, you know, a lemonade stand or?
Well, in high school, I took more business classes. So I did the typing, took typing classes when they offered it back then, way back then, and they had typewriters. And there was, you know, we did have electric. But, you know, I took more bookkeeping classes, business classes, and stuff like that and everything. And then we also had a thing that was started. It was Business Kids of America or something like that and everything, and we come up with a product and that we had to sell and stuff like that. So
do you remember what that product was?
Yeah, it was a bag for like an emergency kit. So we had a flag in there that you could tie to your door handle. We had a flashlight with batteries. We had cones, these plastic cones that would telescope out.
The Biz Foundry does a youth program called My Big Idea, and the thing that I think is so amazing about youth is that no one has told them they can't do it yet.
That's
yeah.
Right.
And so yeah. They come up with the most amazing ideas because no one told them they can't yet.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of neat that in high school you were in a program where you kind of came up with this idea, and you obviously developed a passion at that time for just that business spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Developing a product. And both of you, this is not your main job, correct?
No, we both have other jobs that we, or businesses that we manage.
This is a side hustle for you.
Yep.
It is. I mean, John can probably, you know, give you a little more detail on how the actual spice company came about and what his background is relative to that. I'm an accountant by trade, so to speak. So my accounting degree, business degree. So that, you know, obviously has helped, you know, in our entrepreneurial efforts as well. But he's really been more of the vision for it in terms of, you know, the spices and having that experience in the food industry to be able to make the blends and, you know, make sure that it's something that, you know, is going to sell, that people are going to like.
Yeah.
So in case you're just joining us, we have Amanda and John Brantley with Lanyap Spice Company and Tennessee Spice Company. And you have been around for about 9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And you are located here in Cookeville. Tell me about, so you had this in high school, you did a bit, John, of developing a product. Amanda, do you have any entrepreneurial background, or just kind of the finances is what brought you in?
More so the finances. I mean, for 20 years, I've been involved in construction and done a lot of management on that side. And so, you know, although it's not directly related to spices, still the life experience of that, you know, has served me well in assisting him with, you know, I've set up the business, maintained the business, all of the accounting records, that kind of thing. So.
And this business did not start here in Cookeville, is that correct?
It actually did.
It did. Okay, but yeah. You guys were somewhere else first.
Yeah, we grew up in North Carolina.
Okay.
And that's where we were living. The company that I was working for, I worked in research development, product development. And those two were two separate divisions within the company. So I worked between both of those. And so they had an opportunity to move to the plant in Monterey, which was Fast Food Merchandisers. And they offered that to me, and I accepted. So we moved here, and so, that's how we came to Tennessee.
So you came to Tennessee, and what made you want to start a spice company?
Well, we had good friends. We had been visiting New Orleans for many years, and we were going to a restaurant there, and they had the New Orleans style barbecue shrimp, and so you could buy some of the packs that, you know, in some of the markets and stuff. So I bought one. And it was so hot that we could not eat it.
Spicy.
Yeah. And so, but I was still buying it. And I would literally sprinkle it out on a plate, try to pick the peppers out and the cayenne and try to get all that out and everything. And it was still too hot. We couldn't eat it. And my wife was frustrated because I was doing all this while on a plate while I was watching TV. And so I was making a mess. And she was like, why don't you make your own? You know, instead of doing this, and we can't ever eat it. So that's kind of how I started. I kind of made up my own, and I had friends over, and they loved it. And, you know, they were really the encouragers of, you guys need to start selling this stuff.
So once you have kind of your own taste testers and your friends, I mean, do you worry, though, your friends are going to be nice to you? So at what point did you think, maybe we do have something, and it's not just our friends being nice to us.
Well, they would have told us if it wasn't good.
But I think also, as with any business, you have to be open minded from the perspective that you're probably going to have products that aren't going to sell well. There's going to be things that we think may do well, and they don't. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's been a testing, you know, of the market and so forth in the process. I mean, we've had some products that we've made that we no longer make, and it's just a matter of being open to that and trying to understand what the consumer desires, what they like.
So your first thing was the Booyah Shrimp? Was that your first thing? And that's still in production today?
Oh, yeah.
And is that your biggest item?
No.
Actually not. His steak seasoning is the number one item now.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that took over for first place. So how do you test the market? How do you figure out what consumers want?
Typically, what we do is when he's starting with a new product, of course we'll try it on friends, family, and at home, of course. But if we are going to introduce a new product, like the two new rubs he mentioned a few minutes ago. We will try those in the retail sector first when we're doing some of our own shows. And sometimes it really makes a difference in how we sample it and how people can actually, you know, get acquire a taste for it. And so that's an important aspect of it, seeing what works in that environment and let people taste test it and see how it sells.
Well, and I'm guessing, so you know, you put a rub on a steak. Well, it really depends on what that steak, the cut of the steak and the grade of it and all that kind of stuff. You know, that you add flavor to it, but it could be a bad steak and it's not necessarily your seasoning.
Yeah. Right.
Or
yeah.
You could have people who, you know, like spicier or not spicier. I mean, the food market has to be a pretty difficult industry to, because people have all different sorts of tastes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. People's flavor profiles are very different,
yeah,
you know, in terms of what they like, spice levels, you know, that kind of thing. So, but, you know, testing the market gives us an idea before we begin to produce, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds of a product. That's typically the way that we will try to segue in and make sure, hey, this is a sellable product. People like it. Let's take it to the next level, offer it to our wholesalers. Let's put it on our website.
So how many iterations of a product do you usually go through?
Wow.
It could probably be 3 to 5.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
And who is John kind of harder on himself? Because he's kind of the one developing this. Yes. Right. So is he harder on his own?
He is. I would say we equally use a critical eye, so to speak, on, you know, what we think is, you know, going to enhance the product and it's, you know, how people are going to receive it in the market. For instance, I'll give an instance. Recently, another product that we came out with was a keto-friendly sesame blend, everything sesame blend. Well, he had blended some up. We're using it at home. We liked it, thought it was good. We tested it at one market that we did. It was okay. It was probably a little on the salty side for most people. So we retooled that, and then I said, well, I think you need to toast the sesame seeds that we put in it. At first, we weren't toasting them. And so we did that, and at the next show, it was like a big hit.
Oh,
yeah.
So you've learned a little bit about food and cooking along
the way. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get more into this in just a second. You're listening to News Talk 94.1, Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have John and Amanda Brantley with Lanyup Spice Company as well as Tennessee Spice Company. And we were kind of talking about the different iterations of different spices. The other thing that you guys have kind of hiccuped with is the name of your company, correct? So first of all, let's tell our listeners why Lanyup, and it's spelled in a way that no one can pronounce it.
Well, when we started visiting New Orleans 25 years ago, one of the things that we saw that was a prevalent word in the community down there was Lanyap. And what that means is a little extra, you know, a little something extra, a little extra blessing. And the connotation goes with basically anything in life. If you got, you know, an extra, you know, spoonful of soup out of the pan, or the last of, you know, the drippings out of the pan. If you had an extra blessing in your life,
look in the beater of the cookie dough.
Yeah. Those were all, you know, you got the Lanyap. And so that just tied into, you know, what we feel like we want our customers to feel from our company, and that is that they're getting an excellent spice, a good quality spice at a very good price, because spices are very expensive in the grocery stores. Good quality ones are. And when you extrapolate out what you're paying per ounce, you know, for a very small bottle of spice, then, you know, it can be $30, $40 a pound that you're paying for that spice in reality. So, you know, we felt like, well, we can do better than that. You know, we can offer quality spices at a good price, and they'll last in the cabinet for a while for folks. And, you know, we want it to be something that then gets integrated into their everyday, you know, cooking methods so that they, you know, come back and want to buy it again and again.
So you have had this hiccup of people pronouncing it. So you had, you were approached by a company in Nashville. What company was that again?
It was Opryland Hotel.
Okay. And they said what?
They had contacted us through the PIC Tennessee program and wanted us to come in for an interview, and they had some guidelines of some things they wanted to look at. And we kind of, at first we had declined, and then they came back and says, they really want you to come and be part of this. So we did. And we didn't know it was Opryland Hotel. So we sat down in front of them, and apparently they had seen us somewhere, or, you know, you never know who you're talking to. And they came in and said, we want to put this in one of our outlet stores that we have.
Retail stores inside the hotel.
Yeah. And asked us to, you know,
change a few things around. And
yeah, they asked us to change. You know, they said that we love your logo, but can you put a splat on there that says Made in Tennessee? We have people from around the world that come, and they want something made in Tennessee.
There's a lot of love, I feel like, in the entrepreneurial world of Tennessee. So people want to know it's here. It's from here. People want that.
Sure, and with the tourist and the number of people that they have come through that hotel, conferences, conventions, that kind of thing, they, you know, are looking for something to take back that they know was made in Tennessee, produced here. So they asked us, could we, you know, modify it or change it in some way? So we felt like, how can we best suit the needs and at the same time possibly expand, especially in the wholesale area, with those boutiques or gourmet food stores, that kind of thing, who might want to carry something specifically that when you look at that product, it's easily recognizable. It's a Tennessee product. And so that's how Tennessee Spice Company came about.
So the products are the same products. It's just for you to kind of expand out a little bit
just
more.
Just two different logos, but the identical products. If you were to buy Dixieland steak seasoning in Tennessee Spice Company brand or Lagniappe brand, it's going to taste the same. It's the same product.
That's good. So tell me about a time, you guys have been around for about 9 years now. Has there been any times where you thought, maybe this isn't going to work? Maybe, you know, I should cut my losses or gains and close this down?
Well, we've been in business for 9 years. Every year that we have been in business, we have had growth. And we have had tremendous growth. We haven't had shows or done things where we just had a bad experience and said, we can't do this no more. And that comes from, you know, just having pride in your product and doing a quality item and selling it at a good price and everything and being able to stand behind that. So probably the hardest part is meeting the demand of sales that come with growth.
Well, and as a small, I mean, so it's you guys and you have somebody else that helps with you guys, and you all both have full-time jobs. This is quote unquote a side hustle for you.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, it is a business that has growth. And so how do you manage all that?
I think there's two things in addition to what John said that have contributed to our longevity thus far. Number one is that we've never taken on any debt. You know, we've had the benefit and blessing of having other sources of income. And with anybody who's starting a new business and then trying to sustain that to a point of profitability is to be able to do it debt-free. And by doing that, you know, we had other sources of income that helped us, you know. Mm-hmm. That's number one, I think. Secondly, when we would have profits each year, we've just reinvested those back into the business with another maybe piece of equipment or something that would make John's job easier, you know, that would be the next thing that we could do that saves him time and makes him more efficient at what he's doing. And so we took that approach. We've also, even though we've had tremendous growth, it's been steady in the sense that we haven't tried to jump off, you know, into something too deep that we felt like we were going to get in over our heads. For a number of years, we have contemplated, for instance, going to like Atlanta market where, you know, there is a tremendous amount of people that, you know, small businesses that go there looking for products to sell and to have. And instead, when we decided to try to expand our wholesale side, we really decided to focus in on some mid-market type wholesale shows just to make sure we were ready for that side, because obviously it's a completely different animal, so to speak, than, you know, doing retail work, and make sure that we were ready to produce, you know, to the level that we need to before we go to somewhere like Atlanta or Dallas, you know, one of those very, you know, larger locations. So that's been a process for us to try to steady ourselves and not try to jump off too quick.
That learning curve. In case you're just joining us, this is Amanda and John Brantley with Lanyap Spice Company. The way that my first knowledge of you guys was at Cooking on the Square. So you are a staple of this community at one of the largest probably fundraisers of this community, which Cooking on the Square, for people who aren't aware, is a Habitat for Humanity fundraiser. What makes you want to be, and you are the spot at Cooking on the Square, you're in the corner, you always have a line. So what makes you believe in the community enough to be involved with something like that?
They believe in us. You know, they believe in us and they back us and they support us. If it wasn't for the sales of our community, we wouldn't be here. So your question was earlier was, you know, how do you maintain? Have you ever thought about giving up and anything? And, you know, I'm the one that puts the labels on the bags along with my daughter, and I do have help. But I fill the bags. I do 98% of everything. And there are times that I'm like, man, what am I doing? You know, I could be doing something else. But it's because of the growth and the support and the things that I'm able to tie my business with and be involved in are so much worth it, because you're doing more than just your business. You're helping other people.
Well,
too.
And that's, I mean, you are a staple in this community. I mean, like I said, you are a staple at that event, which is a huge fundraiser in this community. That Cooking on the Square builds a house for Habitat for Humanity every year. Mm. I wouldn't maybe go so far as to say that people just buy their tickets to get their shrimp, but I'm not certain that there's not people that do that. Actually, one of my friends, I think that's why she goes every year, is just to get her shrimp. Mm-hmm. So we're almost out of time. How can people find you? What's your website?
It is www.lanyapspice.com.
All right, spell it. Spell Lanyap.
LAGNIAPPE.
Okay.
Spice. And you can also go to TNSpice.com, takes you to the same website.
Excellent. Do you have social media?
Yeah.
Facebook. We have Twitter, and I'm learning Instagram. Need my daughter's more assistance with that, but we're getting on the Instagram train, so
excellent.
To speak.
Excellent. So if people want to find you, they can find you. And I really appreciate you coming in today. Any last words?
Thank you so much.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate the opportunity to share our company, our vision, what we are about, and we really appreciate the support we get in our local community for our business. It means the world to us.
The Absolutely. Biz Foundry really appreciates just having passionate entrepreneurs, and we just hope that we can change the community, kind of the shape of it all.
Absolutely. Thank you for what you guys do in the community as well.
And if there's anybody out there, and if you've got an idea and, you know, you're looking to, you know, promote it or get it, you know, how do I get this on its feet, you know, use the Biz Foundation and use those resources and everything. I have people contact me all the time, and that's, you know, we're here for you.
There is a huge community of entrepreneurs in this
Absolutely.
Area. So thank you so much for coming in, and have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.